from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint, and guess what? Barry's not here again. He is down in Puerto Rico enjoying himself, seeing Hamilton with Lin-Manuel Miranda himself. So I went on the search for a co-host this week, and I got none other than Mr. Bergen himself. Derek, hello.
Howdy. I like how last week you spent a good amount of time saying things were back to normal, yep. We're all set, and immediately you're back to completely different type shows.
I completely forgot that Barry was doing the whole Puerto Rico Hamilton thing, so I was like, you know what? Let me find somebody that hasn't been on the podcast yet. So I reached out to you, and
real surprise here with him being out of the country. I think you need to donate to get this wall built just to keep him here, so you guys can record some episodes for once.
And he just rubs it in my face, you know, between the Tokyo trip and Puerto Rico now. You know, I'm home with a kid that's broken his arm, and you know, so but. You know, he does a lot of good things for Thrill Geek, so, you know, I let him have his fun. So, but anyways, this week we got some topics we're going to quick talk about. I was at Sesame Street Construction on Tuesday, so I'll quick chat about that. Some Disney things to talk about, some Legoland things to talk about. So a little bit of everything. So
is there any Universal, or is this another e-ticket report where it's completely pro-Disney, anti-Universal bias?
You know what? I don't think we have anything Universal. We're still waiting on Potter Coaster news.
Yeah, any news.
Anything.
Like, what is the name of this ride?
Yeah, we've got months to go, and we still no details. But I don't think we have anything Universal this week. We have Mardi Gras coming up. Oh, I'll say this. We'll be at me and our newcomer, Emily, are going to be at Rock the Universe. Yes. At Geek Notice, Emily, me and her, we're braving the crowds, and we're going to be at Rock the Universe on Saturday night. So Universal awesome. Invited us out to check that out. She's never been, so she gets to experience that fun.
Now, when you get invited by SeaWorld and Universal, does like an engraved letter come delivered by like a butler or something? How do you get these notices? For us plebeians who don't get invited to anything, we kind of want to know this.
I miss your open box video that we have, your empty box video. We haven't seen that in a while.
I do need to send that.
You do need to send that out. No, it's you know, it's usually just an email invite, just saying, you know, hey, you're the Rock the Universe thing was a little more personal. It was from our PR rep. I guess they're reaching out to some people to just kind of, you know, be in the middle of Rock the Universe and see what it's like from inside. It'll be interesting because, you know, they just had Rock the Universe back in September,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And this will be the first one they've had that's not competing with Night of Joy, right? So that
yeah. So they don't have Night of Joy to compete with, and it gave us an extra week of Halloween Horror Nights this year. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, we'll be there Saturday. So there's your Universal news for this podcast. But yes, this will be an e-ticket report. Other than Legoland, we've got pretty much all Disney stuff and SeaWorld. Speaking of which, I'll go ahead and talk about that. Tuesday, I was out at SeaWorld Orlando, and they invited the media masses out to check out how things are progressing with Sesame Street. And I have to say, I'm pretty excited about this expansion after kind of getting in there and seeing how things are going and how. I think one of the biggest things I noticed with the expansion is once they tore out the giant, I can't remember the exact name of it, the rope climbing playground thing.
Yeah,
it really opened that area up, and the fact that they're building a roadway right through that area, it really opened that area up. And the main building that everybody's seeing going up, kind of, if you're standing in Shamu's Stadium right there by the Shamu Stadium sign, that big building is going to be like 80% merchandise. And then the other part of it is going to be meet and greet for some of the Sesame Street characters. You're going to actually be able to meet them in their locker rooms, quote. And I forgot who they mentioned, but there's going to be, I'm guessing, Big Bird and a few of the more popular Sesame Street characters are in there. But other than that, construction-wise, they've repainted Shamu Express to Grover's, what is it, Boxcar Derby or whatever. That's been painted, and a lot of the other rides, there's not going to be a new ride in the Sesame. It's all a rehash of previous, as we pretty much all knew this, Happy Harbor, Shamu's Happy Harbor rides. And some of them are still kind of torn apart. It looks like they're still kind of in transition of redoing them into Sesame Street attractions. And they're still working on, there's going to be a playground area, and there's going to be a splash pad area. I'm trying to think of some of the other highlights of our construction tour. They kind of took us in the merchandise building and the meet and greet building, and then we kind of stood out front and we got to take pictures and do our media thing.
I heard that you and Attraction Magazine's own Banks Lee almost came to blows over the Oscar the Grouch hard hat. Can you confirm or deny this?
We were pretty bummed out that there wasn't a Grover hard hat. So I think we all settled with Cookie Monster. But yes, they had very... I posted it on our Twitter handle. They had amazingly awesome Sesame Street hard hats for us. I think they had Abby Cadabby. They had Big Bird, Cookie Monster, and I want to say Elmo. I think those were the four. But yes, there was no Oscar the Grouch, and me and Banks were fairly upset at this. But
were you able to backdoor Disney this and get one of those out to put on eBay?
No, unfortunately, we had to return them at the end of the hard hat tour. So yeah. I wanted to. I wanted to keep my Cookie Monster hard hat. I think that's one of the more... more exciting hard hats I've had on hard hat tours. Other tours have just had the logo of the ride on it. These are pretty neat. So yeah, Sesame Street's progressing nicely. We didn't get to go back and see the parade building, which it probably isn't anything exciting, but there is going to be the Sesame Street parade, and it looks like the
SeaWorld is going to have as many parades as Walt Disney World. Is that what you're telling us right
that's
now?
That's what I'm telling you.
That's great.
Yeah. So they're going to have the Sesame Street Parade go kind of right through that area. But I like it. I'm excited to see this area once it's all wrapped up and finished. They've got the concrete poured for the train ride. And food. I don't think they announced this before, and I'm pretty sure this was new news as of that construction tour. The food in the Sesame Street expansion are going to be several food trucks. And they did not announce any details, but Sesame Street will have food trucks. So there you have it.
Excellent.
What's going to be in those food trucks? Nobody knows. So I'm excited. It looks like it'll be a great expansion. You know, there's a lot of people bitter right now because, you know, SeaWorld closed down their only kids area. So, but I think this will be worth the wait. It looks like it'll be a fun expansion for families and little ones, for everybody to check out. So
it's a good brand to have, and I think a lot of theme park fans who don't have kids, which is almost all the bloggers covering this stuff, don't understand how much it resonates with young kids. And same thing with Busch Gardens having Sesame Street and then Rudolph for like the winter. I mean, these and SeaWorld, these are big draws for young kids, and they get the crowds in, and it's very family friendly. So I mean, it's great to see this kind of thing happening.
And, you know, not to mention the merchandise, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for SeaWorld to capitalize on a new expansion, whereas Shamu's Happy Harbor, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of marketing there that they could push.
Right.
So, I'm excited about it. It should be a good expansion. So, all right, I think we'll fire through some Disney topics here next. I think the biggest surprise, which I think we'll talk about now, Zootopia coming to Shanghai Disneyland, that came out of nowhere. When was it? Wednesday? When did they announce that? Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Thursday night?
They needed it. I mean, the park has been open for over a year, so they do need one of the largest expansions going on right now. So, I mean, it's well-deserved. We don't need anything. We were very happy with the Toy Story little carnival games we got, so they deserve the big stuff.
Toy Story Midway games. Well, then, you've got Diz Twitter that went on the immediate rampage of, oh my god, it's coming to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
But yes, they didn't announce too many details. They released one concept artwork piece of the expansion that's coming to Shanghai Disneyland. And it makes perfect sense, too, because I did a little digging, and I didn't know this until that day. I was like, why are they doing Zootopia in Shanghai? And I looked at the box office numbers, and Zootopia did stupid in China. I think it was like, I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but it was like 230 million, 300 million or something like that just in China. And I think that was the number one international box office taken for that movie. So,
all the animals featured in Zootopia are delicacies over there. So you have a lot of food and beverage opportunities besides merch. It's a different culture. You got to respect that.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the concept artwork, I don't know if you saw, did you see the giant popsicles?
I did. That's one of those. Whereas Universal almost gives you, this is what you're getting to the dot. And it's like, you can't believe this is actually happening. Like when they did the Diagon Alley and they have this fire-breathing dragon, you're like, oh, that's just artistic liberty. Yeah. No, the dragon breathes fire. Disney puts out their concept art, and it should be like things in picture are subject to, card is subject to change. To
is this going
to
be the opposite where we're promised giant popsicles and then we go to...
No, they're going to say, no, that kid was actually 2 inches tall. That wasn't actual size. Well,
actual size may vary.
Yeah. That did look cool. I mean, that looked... If they can recreate or create something cool like that or interesting and unique, I just can't imagine. I mean, if in the real world, I mean, popsicles start melting fast, just our normal ones that are small. So, I mean, you got to break through that. And if you do, that could be a game changer because people want that for Instagram. They're going to want it for everything, and you can almost name your price.
Get that Instagram wall.
Exactly.
And then they had the gazelle ears, too. Did you see that?
Yeah. Those will be at the. I'll be showing pictures to you of that at the outlet report.
The outlet, yeah.
When Shanghai ships them all over with everything else that came out during the first year, because I do not think, or at least from my experiences at our outlets, that they are selling a lot of merchandise with the rates they want to over there, because it must cost a fortune to ship tons of merchandise over here just to sell it at 80% off.
I was going to ask you, have you ever found any international merchandise at the outlets?
A ton. I would almost imagine everything from like the grand opening, all their merchandise came over here, which is not a good sign. I'm sure they didn't make that much. But then when you get into the labyrinth of YouTube videos or people covering the Shanghai parks, where there just isn't as many, or at least I don't see as many, compared to, say, Walt Disney World, you see that, again, they have different cultures in terms of there's people selling bootleg merchandise inside the parks. I mean, it's just, it's totally bananas.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So, I mean, they're competing against that. People just selling, you know, discounted junk, so.
Yeah.
And I also don't think China... is a collecting culture like we are. You know, they don't have, you know, quote unquote man caves full of toys and junk like we do. They probably just support their family. They probably do the right things.
They do the right things over there.
Instead of buying junk like we do. So that's another prohibitive thing that Disney has.
Instead of me supporting my kids, I buy my Haunted Mansion toys.
Yeah, exactly. You may not go to college, Jordan, but guess what? Hat box ghost collection. And don't open it, though.
Yeah, don't touch it. Just look at it. Well, let's stay on Disney topics here, and let's talk about Project Stardust.
Oh, before the Shanghai thing, it kind of ties into Universal. I mean, they didn't give much information, but they've already given more information than Universal has for a ride that's coming out in a couple months.
Yeah, like I said earlier when I was saying we're going to be at Rock the Universe, we don't know much. I'm guessing soon, maybe after Rock the Universe is over, we'll get some more details on this Potter coaster, but yeah, you're correct.
When it soft opens,
they're
asking for volunteers.
Going back to the Zootopia Shanghai thing, they didn't announce any details of any rides or anything, but it'll be interesting to see what they do as far as a ride, whether they do a dark ride, a Omnimover type ride, or...
It sounded screen-based, just from the description.
Yeah.
That it looked like it's going to be more of... They're turning it... Disney, in general, is turning more into Universal, and it looks like Universal's turning more into old-school Disney with more practical stuff in the future, so that's interesting.
I was just going to say, don't say screen ride around Disney people.
Oh, they're going to have to get used to it.
Yeah.
They got a long couple years coming. Yeah.
It's coming. But yeah, moving on here. Disney announced Project Stardust for Disneyland. And basically, Project Stardust, for those of you that don't know, the code name for the Death Star plans. Project Stardust is going to be a sort of an overhaul of kind of, how would you explain it, Derek? Basically, they're getting the park ready for Galaxy's Edge, in a nutshell.
It's like Walmart on Black Friday. On the Thursday night, they start moving all the pallets away. They start having the gearing up the employees. And you remember your training, you will survive. They're getting ready for the masses that are about to swarm on that park soon. But what do you think of that Project Stardust? In a way, it reminds me of them going buying Pandora. It's like, did you guys even watch any of these movies that you're referencing? Because this is a horrible name for a project. It's the exact opposite of
what you exact want. Opposite, yeah. Like I said, this, as most Star Wars fans know, Project Stardust is the plans for building the Death Star. How that ties into beautifying Sleeping Beauty Castle and they're doing all these like enhancement things, and I had to kind of sit back and I was like, I was kind of speechless. How does Project Stardust tie in with this? And I couldn't come up with anything other than it's an overhaul, and I don't even know how that ties into it. But yeah,
they're touting new curbs in Main Street USA.
Yeah,
we have potholes in Epcot, I think, now at this point. They get new curbs.
Yeah, I was going to kind of read that quote real quick. I hate kind of reading articles when we're doing the podcast, but Disney said, quote, curbs are being enhanced with slow inclines to help improve access when guests first enter. New brickwork adds to the storytelling of the iconic thoroughfare. How brickwork adds to storytelling. And then the horse-drawn streetcar track was replaced in Fantasyland. And then they go on saying they reconfigured the queue for Matterhorn, It's a Small World, Dumbo, and they've seen improved access. And then, of course, they plugged the new Tropical Hideaway.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed with that. Ryan kind of posted some stuff for us over there at the Tropical Hideaway. And of course, the biggest news were the enhancements to Sleeping Beauty Castle, which I think that's the coolest part of this, is that the castle is going to get some TLC because it needs it. Because apparently it got pretty banged up during the 60th when they had all those diamonds on the castle. Yeah. And stuff. So it's good to see that the castle will be getting some enhancements. And
well, castle was originally built in the early 50s.
Yeah, like, so it's...
construction wasn't at the level it's at today. I mean, when you think... did I say 50s? I mean, we're talking Ryan's great-grandparents. That's when they were born. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. And just and they're adding things from now on to then with different weights. The buildings were not made for that back then. So I'm sure they got to do a lot of infrastructure to bring this castle up, and especially to compete with the other castles made since then, which all dwarf it. You got to make that impressive.
Yeah, and Hong Kong is also getting a huge castle facelift over on theirs. So, and they released, I got confused too about this, they released a concept artwork piece of the original original concept artwork piece. So I guess they're kind of going off of that for the facelift they're giving it.
The Hong Kong one or Disneyland?
Sorry, I'm talking about Disneyland when they announced this Project Starbucks.
That's what they probably wanted in some of the last.
That's what they wanted. Yeah,
we can't sell that one.
When they announced the Project Stardust thing, on the Disney Parks blog article, they posted a original concept artwork piece for the castle, and I was like, okay, so I guess they're kind of going for an original look. Which, why wouldn't they be? Because you don't want to touch that castle,
right?
That's Project Stardust. I guess it's going to be kind of a they've already started it, and it's going to be kind of hearing things there as they get ready for the insanity that's going to be Galaxy's Edge later this summer. So I wonder what do you think they're going to do here, Derek?
Nothing.
To prepare Hollywood Studios for Galaxy's Edge.
They're not going to do anything. They won't even empty the garbage cans. They're gonna, you know what they're going to do? They're going to raise prices. That's what they're going to do. That is it. That is absolutely it. And this, I don't know if you remember now it's been 3 years, whatever. When Tom Staggs left, there was a huge article at the time written by an insider. And one of the big quotes was during these meetings where Staggs was explaining my Magic Plus and my Disney experience, and Bob Iger saying, it better work.
Yeah.
And then repeating it better work. And it didn't work. And that's why Tom Staggs is now not with Disney or half of management at the time.
Yeah.
Star Wars better work. Because yeah. Disney is all in on it right now, and if this is not going to bring in the numbers, there's no way to course correct in the next couple of years. But it's also interesting that they're doing they're adjusting the curbs, but they're not making raising a quickly hotel or making parking structures. So I feel like they're almost hedging their bets.
Yeah,
they're gonna let's wait and see. If this is the hit we all assume it's gonna be, then we'll go forward with all these plans. But what if it's not?
Yeah, I mean, we had the Anaheim fall through with the hotel at Disneyland, so you got that, and then...
They're closing for parking every day now.
Oh, yeah, I see the tweet every day.
Bananas.
Parking update.
Yeah, 11 a.m., Toy Story Land lot is, or whatever, Mickey and Friends is closed. Please go to San Francisco and take the trolley in.
Yep, so, Project Stardust, there it is, so... Disneyland's getting ready, and we're also getting ready over here on the East Coast for Galaxy's Edge at Hollywood Studios. We got gondolas coming.
And it looks the one thing they'll do here is probably shoot BioReconstruct down. And that's probably what they're going to do here. Because
it's finally.
They make it look awesome. I mean, every week he's giving these updates. It's like, I cannot wait for this to open.
I don't understand that guy. I don't know how he does it.
He's a hero.
Yeah. He really is. So
completely altruistic. He's doing this literally just for our enjoyment.
Yeah. Does he have a job?
I don't know. What if you found out he was afraid of heights? Would that add to the mystique? Like this?
It would.
A legend.
The mysteriousness of him is so deep right now. Anything else would just add to the.
Have you ever run a Run Disney marathon or a race of?
No, and he.
If you've done, it's you. You start your day like at 1 a.m.
Yeah,
because to get to the traffic and get through everything to get to your corral and do all this nonsense, he does a marathon, then goes into the parks where everyone else goes to the hotel and collapses. He's into the parks
in the park, tweeting pictures. Yeah,
then he goes on a helicopter and covers. It's just insane that a human being can do this.
It blows my mind. Like he puts every blogger to shame, and I'm not afraid to admit that.
Yeah, he's amazing. If you would have found out he's like five people, like in a big expose, that makes more sense. That there's a team of bio reconstructs.
Yeah, no, it's one person.
It's awesome. He's awesome.
So, we got off. We off subject here. Where were we? Project Stardust. Let's.
We're not getting Project Stardust. Let's just end that right now. We got stickers for an Incredibles overlay for the summer. That's what we got. Stickers. They're getting themed bricks. We're getting stickers on the wall.
New curbs.
Story curbs.
Well, let's go through the rest of our Disney topics this evening, and let's talk about. Speaking of over here, we got Maleficent back. After her fiery disappearance back in, what was it, May? I believe it was.
Which Disney did not acknowledge.
Yeah, they just kind of brushed it off. But Maleficent did catch fire. There was tons of videos and photos and all over.
Turkey of the Year award winner for the Saturday Six.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Maleficent made her triumphant return to the Festival of Fantasy Parade on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, sometime this week.
She's back, and apparently they made some enhancements to her as far as what she breathes out as far as her fire. I couldn't see any. I haven't been there in person. I had a bunch of people sending me pictures and photos to post on Thrill Geek and stuff like that. So I haven't seen her in person, but apparently they also made some cosmetic changes. I don't know.
Yeah, she's now made out of asbestos. So that's the new carriage.
So she apparently got some new enhancements, not only safety features to probably make sure that the fire incident doesn't happen again, but she got some cosmetic enhancements, which I couldn't see with the videos and pictures people were posting, but there it is. Maleficent has returned.
It's an awesome float. It's an awesome parade. Fantasy is awesome.
It is. It's a good parade. I still wish we would get a nighttime parade back at Magic Kingdom, but
festival. Good news is Disneyland's getting another parade.
Yeah,
because they did need something else on top of their other four parades going on at all times.
Yeah. I was pretty bummed out when the fire happened, and you know there was. All the pictures and all the video of her after they had put the fire out, she just looked so bummed and just defeated. So it was good to see her make her return, including the fire, because, you know, sometimes with Disney, sometimes something like that happens and they remove the effect that caused whatever to happen, you know. So there was a lot of people had their arms up in the air whether the fire would be returning to Maleficent when she returned to the fit. There were people that were, everybody was fairly certain she was going to return, but there was a lot of arms up in the air whether the fire was going to return, and lo and behold, we got her back, fire and all. So it was good to see her back in the parade, because she pretty much makes that parade. Like you said, the parade's great. But when that Maleficent float comes, there's, you know, all eyes are on it. So,
I think it was safe to assume the fire was going to come back. They shut down the fire in the, I think it's Disneyland Paris as the Festival of Fantasy Parade. And for like the first week following our accident, they shut it down. They probably tested everything.
That's right.
Out whatever happened down here, which I don't think anything's ever come out. Because like I said, Disney still hasn't acknowledged anything happened last year.
Yeah.
It was probably a really fluke accident. And
yeah,
probably put in more safeguards to make sure even that could never happen again. But when the fire came back like a week later in Paris, it was like, okay, it's not the dragon. Something else happened.
Yeah, it was probably just like you said, just a freak accident that it needed that one time to happen, and unfortunately it did. So we're glad to have Maleficent back over here.
Yes.
So let's talk Mickey bars.
Oh, yeah.
Let's dive into Mickey bars, shall we?
The bane of my existence.
We had a little fun earlier on Twitter this week, hunting down these mysterious Mickey bars that have been popping up, and you found them at Publix, but you found them for a different price.
Well, first, I mean, Disney posted, or the news started hitting, I think, early in January, and Disney said that they were coming out the rep for Publix said you'd be seeing them at the end of February.
Yeah.
And then I saw one post on Twitter where a person found it. And so I started looking around. And I work in a different city, so when I was at work, I'd stop by Publix while out and about. So I've probably stopped in a total of 10 Publixes between four different cities, and only two of them had it. So I don't know if the big rollout is coming in February, and just these are kind of they're slowly getting the product out, or maybe they're just not going to all Publixes.
Yeah.
But they started off, when I bought my first one, it was $7.99. For a six pack, which is still a great price. And then I went this was on a Tuesday. And for people who don't live around here or know Publix, on every Thursday, Publix resets itself. And that's when all their deals start with BOGO and things of that nature. So I went on Thursday, and the same Mickey bars were $8.19. And so I made a post that, you know, they've updated it. They've more aligned with Disney Parks and raising prices immediately with no discounts available. And it turns out I'm the only one apparently in the world paying $8.19, because everybody else is either at $7.99. Some people are at $6.99.
I saw the $6.99 really? One.
I just can't believe this. And meanwhile, nobody has found one for $8 like me. It's a universal tax. I think Bob Iger personally sent a letter to Publix down here in the Treasure Coast.
Like you said, what did you say on Twitter? You said Iger said he gets us at the outlet, but we'll get him.
We'll get him food and beverage.
We'll get him back at food and beverage.
I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. So what do you think of the Mickey bars that you can buy at your local grocery store? Did you like them?
I thought they were fantastic.
Yeah. I did a little, as right before we recorded here, I had Cheryl and my 4-year-old Connor dive into one and give their impressions, which I posted on the Thrill Geek Twitter. And then I actually had a bite of Connor's afterwards because I hadn't had one yet. But I like them; they're good. The chocolate's a little different as far as compared to the theme park version. But they're still good. They're still really good. I enjoyed them.
I enjoy at Disney. I find myself eating more of the Mickey sandwiches more anyway. So
I think
don't really
so too.
Have this ingrained in my taste of what it should taste like. I do like pretending that these are healthier because they use skim milk instead of regular milk. So you can kind of get in your mind, think, oh, this is like a diet Mickey bar.
It's a diet Mickey bar. This is healthy.
You got to live the lie sometimes. I can eat the whole box at this point. I mean, why not? It's skim milk.
And then you look at the saturated fats and you're like, oh, crap. But yeah, for the most part, they're $7.99. They're kind of showing up. At least here in Florida, I don't know other grocery stores. I think Kroger is another one that started getting them in. That's a big grocery chain somewhere else. But here in Orlando, unless you're Derek, there's $7.99 for a 6-pack. So that comes out to what, a dollar and change a piece?
Yeah,
so
less than $1.50.
Yeah,
that's really good.
And I enjoyed them. So if you see them in your local grocery store, be sure it's. I mean, given, you know, you can buy a 12-pack or I don't know how many, like a Target brand ice cream sandwich for $3, but, you know, it's Mickey bars. And how often do you get to, you know, come?
Yeah, it'll be limited time. It's not like this is going for.
Yeah, no. That's the other thing. It
will be done soon.
Yeah, they're only, it says right on the box, limited edition. So enjoy them while you can.
As far as I know, I haven't seen the Mickey Oreos. Those are gone now. I still see the goldfish, but there's several products that they put out, mass-produced, that are, you know, they're out.
I bought the Connor wanted waffles, so I bought Mickey 90 waffles for him. I said, Connor, come here, look at this. I got Mickey 90 waffles, and he was like, his face, like, glowed.
And the kids will love the bars, too. It's just...
Yeah.
There's no price. The price is over $8 on my end. But
Jordan won't. Jordan hates chocolate.
Really?
Oh, God, that kid's so weird. Like, he'll eat chocolate chip cookies, but he won't touch ice cream. He's so weird when it comes to food. Like, I love that kid, but, like, when I try to get him to, like, try, like, the Mickey bar, he would not touch one of those. Wow. Or the ice cream sandwich. He'd rather, you know, like, last week when we were at the Magic Kingdom, you know, we all stopped for ice cream. I got the ice cream sandwich. And Jordan went for the strawberry bar, which is good.
Yeah.
But that kid doesn't want anything to do with chocolate. So that's why I did the little video with Cheryl and Connor, because I knew Connor, he's my kid. He loves the ice cream. So anyways, yeah, they're out. And if you see them in your store, grab them, try them. They're out for a limited time. So good stuff.
Did you speaking of that, I just mentioned the Mickey Oreos. Did you happen to see the other big Oreo product that came out? I bought it at the same time I bought my Mickey bars. It's the
Most Stuff.
Most Stuff, yeah.
Yes, we have them here at the house. And as gimmicky as they are, they're just overkill.
I loved it. I completely disagree.
You bite into those things and it's like just filling
it,
like,
lives
everywhere.
Up to the what you think it's going to be, and then you open it up and it looks like there's 1/3 amount of cookies because they're so big.
Yeah,
so that right there sets the stage. Okay, these are the Most Stuff. This is big. It's exactly what I expected.
So now there's like a picture I saw just a few hours ago. I saw on Twitter, I think I saw on Facebook anyways, there was a picture of Only Stuff. It's obviously photoshopped, but yeah. Only Stuff, and it's just the filling in the cookie container. So let's see how long Oreo goes before we get that. But I tried them. I mean, they're good, but I think Mike Aiello, I think he said this on Twitter, the Double Stuff are the perfect proportion Oreos for me, and I completely agreed with him. These Most Stuff things are just insane. Like, you bite into it and filling just goes everywhere. Yeah. It's ridiculous, but it's awesome.
A fun gimmick, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. So, yeah, we had them. I think I got them pretty when Ryan came down and he stayed at our house. I got them. So he tried one and he liked it. So, anyways, back on track here. Where are we at now? Let's talk Legoland really quick. We'll fire through Legoland, and then we'll go to SeaWorld. Quick hits here from Legoland. They announced the details for their hotel expansion, which sounds pretty cool. It'll be called Pirate Island Hotel, and it'll be all pirate themed, which is pretty cool because I love Legoland. I have three kids, and who doesn't?
Legoland is awesome.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you kind of what I've never heard your inputs on Legoland, Derek. So I was gonna kind of bring you in here and
have you stayed on site?
They've invited the lady that deals with me with their PR department. She absolutely loves my adorable kids, so they market them like crazy. So I've got these three adorable kids at Legoland's. Like, we want you guys here for this.
Are you counting Ryan as the third kid, or is it?
I have three kids, Derek. Where have you been? Oh yeah, no, Ryan. I see where you're going with this. No, Ryan could. Yeah.
He could pass. He can get that under 10 rate at the theme park. Yeah. That's kind of a nice ability to have as an adult.
No. You know, and every time I get invited to something Legoland, whether it's theme park related or the we were there for the opening of the Legoland hotel, actually. We were one of the first people to stay there. When it opened, they invited us out. We got a room and stayed at the room, and we got to roast marshmallows down by the campfire and check out the pool full of big Lego bricks, and the rooms are so cool. And the beach retreat.
That's where I stayed.
Yeah, that's pretty cool too.
That was fantastic.
Their little bungalows or whatever.
Yep.
Those are really awesome too. So and now they're expanding their hotel, which is great to see, because that means they're doing good down there. They're obviously killing it with the hotel that they're bringing in this pirate expansion. So
could you believe that there was a free breakfast buffet for anyone staying on site? I mean, that just blew my mind. And then I expected when we got there that it'd just be like, you know, a Disney Club level, you know, breakfast buffet, which is just like continental, you know, Motel 6,
like Mickey waffles and bacon, and
it's just ridiculous, full real buff. I can just imagine a Disney vice president walking in and fainting, finding out this is free. You know, I was shocked.
Yeah,
it was so wonderful.
From what I vaguely remember with the gosh, what was the name of it? The sit down restaurant in the Legoland Hotel, that was pretty good food too, because we got treated to a dinner that night. After we kind of spent the day at the Legoland Park, we went back and they had the restaurant open, and the sit down restaurant in the Legoland Hotel was good. But yeah, we had the buffet when we went to the grand opening. It was just me and Connor, because I forgot why, but that doesn't matter. Anyways, me and Connor went down for the grand opening for the Legoland Beach Retreat, and we did the breakfast buffet. And you are 100% correct with that. I was rather impressed with the selection there.
Wow.
So yeah, they're expanding their hotel with a brand new expansion. And I think they said, what does it say here?
It's a while though, like 2020, right?
Because they're still they've just started work on it. They also announced a new miniature golf course opening in summer 2019.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. For Legoland Hotel. So there you go. We'll have a little putt-putt golf course for guests staying at the Legoland Hotel at Legoland Florida. So, and then also we got a opening date for Lego Movie World, March 27th. We will be able to step into the Lego Movie World. They announced earlier this week. I was correct, right? Yeah, March 27th.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep up with my notes here. And this expansion looks really cool. I mean, aside from the re-theme of the World of Chima ride, the water ride, they're getting the little drop tower ride themed after Unikitty. And they're kind of getting their own mini Soarin with Masters of Flight, which I'm with the, what is it, the triple-decker couch? Yeah, Emmett's triple-decker couch. So I'm really curious to see how that pans out. But I'm excited about this expansion. It looks really cool.
Everything they've done is great.
Yeah.
The hotels and the amenities are unbelievable. I mean, apple fries are better than a Dole Whip.
My God. I love apple fries. Don't even go there. I could talk
And the apple fry sundae. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You somehow made something great even better. But one thing I love is their little town theater, whatever it is, and you get to see their Lego movie made exclusively for Legoland.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. Like, yeah. This is one of the best things I've ever seen in a theme park.
Yeah.
With some really smart jokes.
Yeah.
So that gives me a lot of hope for what this Soarin type ride can be, because they've shown, just like Universal has done with a lot of things like The Simpsons and stuff, they can nail it when they put their effort into it.
Yeah. And this Lego Movie World is, they've mentioned, it's their biggest expansion ever. So they're really putting the money and the effort into this expansion. And I'm pretty excited.
They did a good job with Ninjago. That was their last one, right? Really nice. There's not much there, but that area is really nice.
Yeah, the Triotech Dark Ride, which is phenomenal. And that ride exhausts me just like Toy Story Mania does with the whole your hand going over the air vent type thing. That ride's so exhausting. But yeah, they did
that.
Your
kids love it. Every time we go,
oh,
that's
my God,
their favorite attraction. They're just going crazy, karate chopping and stuff.
Jordan's pretty big about the... I think it's because it's... he's big on the Great Lego Race, the VR roller coaster.
Oh, I love that.
When he got off that ride, like, his mind was blown. Like, I can strap on a VR goggles and ride a roller coaster. Like, his mind was blown, and it sucks because every time we go there, the wait is, you know, the wait's long, and I don't think it's because it's the issue other parks have had with VR on the roller coaster slowing it down, because Legoland actually, their process of loading and unloading with the VR goggles and everything is pretty speedy process.
Yeah. You get your stuff before you even get on.
Yeah, they get you strapped with the helmet before you get on, and then when you sit down, they make sure your VR goggles are hooked in and you're good to go. So I just think it bought the Technics coaster or whatever.
Yeah.
It breathed new life into that ride, and I think, you know, it's holding its popularity. Because we went to Legoland a couple times this year. One was for the grand opening of the Great Lego Race, the VR coaster, and Jordan just absolutely loved it. So I think right now that's his favorite, but he loves the Ninjago ride.
Got off Ninjago and we did that, and my girlfriend ended up, she forgot her glasses or hat on the ride, so she went back up the exit, and we were waiting for her at the end of the ride, and that's where they have the high scores and your photo that you can buy and all that. And one of the people I was with, they look, you know, I had the second high score for the day. I'm like, wow. And then I noticed that the high score of the day was this grandma. So I'm like, all right, maybe it's not that impressive after all. But I'm like peacocking it up, and then I'm like, wait a second, this 80-year-old woman beat me. But it's exhausting. Like you said, you get off that ride, it is a workout.
It is. It really is. It's like Toy Story Mania with the, you know, you're pulling the rope thing, and you get off, and your forearms are like, oh my God. Yeah, that's kind of the new things we got going on at Legoland. So I wouldn't be surprised if I would imagine that this is going to open up before, you know, we got all these, me and Barry, we've discussed this before, we got all these huge expansions coming. We got Sesame Street, we got Lego Movie World, we got Galaxy's Edge, and we got the Potter coaster. So we've been trying to kind of put a timeline of when things are going to... Obviously, Galaxy's Edge is at the end because we're not supposed to be getting ours open until, you know, late this year. They're saying, you know...
Allegedly.
Holiday 2019. So, but I have a feeling right now it's going to be at least the first couple... Lego Movie World, and then I think Sesame Street won't be too far behind that at SeaWorld.
Remember, they thought, or they not, they thought, they expected Toy Story Land to open before the summer, And this is literally like the carnivals that come to your school for a fundraiser. That's the level of rides they put in. That got pushed back to the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
They couldn't even really do that much of like a soft open stuff. So that's what was Toy Story Land.
This is Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, this is a level of theme park immersion we've never even seen. This, you know, this is bigger than Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
So good luck. That's all I can
say. Yeah. We'll see. I'm remaining hopeful and optimistic and all those other things that we'll see an opening date this year. I think that was it. I think that was it as far as topics I had. Is there anything you want to get off your chest while I have you here? Or?
I'm waiting for our exclusive Voodoo Donut. I've now been so completely spoiled. At first, it was an unexpected surprise when they started debuting, like, the orange Universal Creamsicle.
Yeah.
And then they had the Jurassic Raptor Claw and the Halloween Horror Nights Grave.
We had the Tombstone one, yeah.
The Grinch. I mean, they look spectacular. I didn't like the taste of that one compared to the others. But, I mean, it's just cool having a donut that you really can't get anywhere else. And just become used to it, and now we don't have it, and I'm irrationally angry, even though that is one of my favorite places in any theme park. I mean, where it's an automatic, and I don't know if you've noticed it. My first time I went to Voodoo Donuts last year, it was shocking. We came in late. We parked at the garages.
Yeah. And
when you're coming into City Walk, seeing people walking out with donut boxes.
You see pink boxes everywhere.
It's just fascinating. Yeah, you just don't see stuff like that. You know, when you go to Disney Springs, you're not seeing people walking out with Homecoming bat. I mean, I love Homecoming. There's just nothing like it to compare it to see this phenomenon. They're definitely not doing it at Sprinkles.
Yeah.
This is such a monster hit for Universal that has kept its popularity.
Yeah.
This is not a fad. I mean, they deliver great-looking, great-tasting donuts for an amazingly low price for the theme park world.
For those of you that don't know, as you can tell, Derek is a voodoo connoisseur.
Stan, yeah. And I'm not invited to any of their media events either. I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I think I've done more articles on Voodoo Donut than any human on Earth. And they still have no idea who I am.
I mean, you discussed this on Twitter earlier this week. I think maybe, fingers crossed, we'll get a Mardi Gras donut. They haven't done one yet, have they?
No, they were open. They opened after Mardi Gras last year. So that, I mean, right up their alley, though, because that's kind of like their theme, having like
the whole voodoo skull type thing. So maybe we'll get a Mardi Gras donut. Definitely get out. No, I love Voodoo Donuts, and every time I get a chance to swing by there, unfortunately, one of the times I really wanted to take advantage of it was during when I'm at Universal religiously. Me and Barry is Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be the place to be, during Halloween Horror Nights. It was just packed there every single night.
Keep the line going, just like it's like Chick-fil-A. It's not like when you go to a lot of fast food places, there's four people in line, just forget it, you know. Or like Popeyes, if there's two people in line, forget, I'll just go home. It's gonna be much easier. If you see a line deep at Chick-fil-A, it's like, don't worry, they'll get me through. Same thing at Voodoo Donuts. And it's just a well-oiled machine there, and it's worth the wait.
It is. I love me some Voodoo. Yeah, I think that's it.
Here's some quick Universal stuff, and I don't know if you know anything about this, but Royal Pacific is about to go through a massive change of refurbishment in their lobby, and I haven't heard of anything that's coming, but it's going to be like, I think, March to like October or something like that.
Oh, really? I have not heard about this.
Yeah, but if you look, I mean, the things they've put in lobbies of like Sapphire Falls, something like is it Dutch Trading Company? Something like that inside the Royal Pacific is much needed, I think. I mean, that's one of my favorite hotels in all of theme park.
Same here. I love Royal Pacific.
It's missing that one little grab-and-go type thing right in the lobby. I think that would be fantastic. So hopefully they're incorporating some of the cool things they've done with Aventura and Sapphire Falls and bringing that technology. Because I think Royal Pacific is one of their oldest ones now on site.
Yeah,
in the late 90s.
I love Royal Pacific. It's one of my, you know, because I'm a huge kind of Asian, kind of, you know, Pacific Asian kind of fan of just the atmosphere of those types of resorts. I think Royal Pacific, next to Cabana, I love Cabana Bay.
Cabana Bay is for a value. It just, it's almost like Voodoo Donuts. Like, you don't have to do this
at
this price point. You do not need to have a gym that's bigger than most people's Planet Fitness in their town.
And a bowling alley.
Disney shows you don't need to put any effort into your arcade. Kids don't care. You actually have a good arcade. they have pool bar, you know, a value resort with two decent pool bars with menus, you know, with cooked food. It's just absolutely crazy that this is their pop century, and it's just basically competing with the contemporary and Grand Flow in terms of amenities you get as a guest.
Sure. No, I didn't know that. That's awesome news to my ears. I didn't know that Royal Pacific was going to be getting this treatment, so that's good to hear. So, anything else you wanted to chat about? We can wrap things up here.
I think that's it. We covered.
What do you got coming up here? Obviously, you know, I should have let you do this at the beginning, but we'll do it here at the end. Save the best for last. Where can people find you? What do you do? Tell me where people can find you.
I contribute and write for the touringplans.com blog and other miscellaneous things for Touring Plans. I'm one of the co-hosts for the E-Ticket Report podcast with one of the lowest production values across the internet, which is saying something, but we've made some big strides.
I don't know. You're on the Thrill Geek podcast now, so...
Barry's travel schedule, I could be a permanent co-host pretty soon.
That's
looking good for me.
Let's see how this goes.
And this week on the blog, we actually have one of our special investigations looking at the world of theme park food photography, which you probably know a little bit something of, covering stuff.
Oh yeah, I've gotten some pointers from you.
Barry's been yelled at several times.
Barry's got it too. Yeah, Barry's gotten it too. So,
but my tough love has elevated the game, I think, in Florida overall, and I think we lead the world in coverage. If you can compare it to Disneyland, especially Shanghai, Tokyo Disneyland, there is nowhere near the commitment and level of overall quality.
Yes.
And I'm serious. I mean, I kind of joke that, you know, I raise the bar. No, but photographers, and you do a great job too, people don't understand the work that goes in to covering stuff like this. And the fact that they see a great photo, you probably took 25 photos.
Yeah.
And just, you know, going through yourself and taking weird angles, staying late, missing the crowds. People don't understand the work that goes into quality coverage. So people like Thrill Geek, like you, Clint, and others, I mean, you really do a great job. And people don't understand the work that goes into it. They just see the end result. You know, I want to do that. I mean, there's a reason why Touring Plans or WWNT or the Disboards, all these major sites that have a lot of articles, they're constantly looking for people to write because the flake-out rate is extremely high because people think, oh, anyone can do this.
Yeah.
And they find out two articles in, I'm out of ideas, or this is a lot more work than I thought. And it's just really hard to find people that are committed and can do good work. And, you know, you're definitely one of them.
Yeah. I think one of the, as you can tell with bringing Emily on board, one of the biggest things I wanted to was kind of open up Thrill Geek to more people this year. You know, because it's literally been me. And then Barry came on, you know, we started the podcast and it's just gotten to the point with, you know, with me with three kids. Unfortunately, I don't have the assets to pay people to write the website. So, if I see people that are willing to volunteer write for the website, like Emily, which by the way, she's done an amazing job already, and she's only been on for a week or two, I'm more than willing to invite those people in because I can give them exposure. You know.
Yep.
And I tell them that's the one thing I can offer them is exposure. And if that helps them in their quest for something greater, then so be it.
And you're invited to a lot of cool things.
Yeah.
Being connected to a site like that opens other doors, you know, let alone the exposure, but having that name, that places like Disney, places like SeaWorld, places like Universal respect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great thing.
Yeah. And you know, I've tried to do good things with Thrill Geek, and I hope people have recognized that. And I thank you because you've been a huge friend and a huge help, not only with photography, but you know, just kind of being there and supporting the site. So thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
What takes more of your time, though, the three kids or standing in line for exclusive Funkos at Disney Springs? If you had to rate, like, how many hours a year you spend at both?
Oh, God, three kids.
Child rearing or the Funko? It's close, though, right? It's got to be close.
Three kids, no questions asked. Case in point, this week, I had to go to the – I had a hospital trip with my oldest, but he's doing fine. His arm – I guess he fractured his arm playing at school. So yeah, that happened. So the joys of parenting. But you know, no, luckily, you know, and I've thanked her before. I have an awesome wife. Cheryl deals with my Thrill Geek insanity. Thrill Geek wouldn't be where it is without her support, and you know, because she supports what I do, and you know, that's kind of one thing. She's the one that keeps me going. So
it's good. My girlfriend is not a big fan of theme parks. So it's more challenging balancing when you're she calls it casting a pod. Doesn't even understand this universe of why anybody does this. So it's nice to have support on your side. I can only dream of what that must be like.
Think
of the exact opposite, and that's the situation I'm in.
I like that. Tell her I like that. Casting a pod. I like that. She's amazing. You know, she supports me in everything I do with Thrill Geek. You know, whether it's, you know, spending, like you said, whether it's spending time at a theme park in line for a Funko figure, which luckily, by the way, is usually early in the morning, or it's, you know, spending nights at Halloween Horror Nights, you know, just kind of doing things there. So she's been amazing, and I can't thank her enough for, you know, what she's done. So we make a good team. So anyways, and Derek, where can everybody find you on social media? Twitter? You're pretty much on Twitter, right?
You're at my name, Derek Bergen, DerekBurgan. Again, check out Touring Plans.
Yeah, be sure to check out, especially the Saturday Six. It's always a good time checking out that. And Derek and Kate,
could you believe I love Press Pennies down here, both Universal and Disney. I think it's one of the most fun souvenirs you can get. They're relatively inexpensive, easily collectible, whether you like characters or attractions or whatever. You can really get into it for a small niche if you wanted. And you have the hand cranks, it can be interactive. Thought we had it pretty good. It turns out it sucks down here. Disneyland blows us. Disneyland basically has the galaxy's edge of Press Penny machines, and we have the Toy Story Land down here. It was very eye-opening of what these spoiled brats get out in California and what we get out here, which is just ridiculous.
So, really quick before we wrap things up here, did you get your photo that you were looking for of the Press Penny machine here?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, good. I wanted to make sure you were covered.
Yeah, because
it was the quarter thing.
And I'm like, wait a second, why does it only take 4 quarters? I'm pretty sure ours takes 5 quarters. And I thought I was losing my mind. Yes, we're also overpaying for our lesser machines. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable how Disneyland is like the favorite. I'm sure you won't say it on the air, but I know you have a favorite kid. Disneyland gets everything. Even though we are the straw that stirs the drink, we generate everything to support the Universal and Disney World. And yet it is these other parks which get the tender love and care, you know, because, you know, Walt was there. Walt walked these streets.
Yeah.
So they get the story curbs, the themed bricks. And meanwhile, we have a Press Penny machine here that has Jam and Jungle Parade from 2014. That's what we get down here, despite raising everything. Unbelievable.
Besides Voodoo Donuts, Derek's other passion is Press Pennies, as you can tell.
And being fair to Florida.
Yes. And I support you fully in that, as I steal your trademark saying sometimes.
Yes. We don't need Zootopia in Animal Kingdom. We need it in Disney Hollywood Studios or something like that. But we need Zootopia here. We deserve that land.
Yeah.
More than Shanghai, who just got this multi-billion park that is amazing.
Yeah.
Let them enjoy that for a little bit and give us something new.
Hey, we're getting my Tron, okay? Let's not forget that. My precious Tron. Let's admire that for a few seconds. So
your kids will be in high school when that opens. Let's keep that in mind. It's not opening next summer. All right.
Universal's
not building the Tron ride.
No, I'm excited about Tron. I was very excited for that to come here. So, all right. This is where Barry usually plugs all of our social media, but I'll do it really quick. We're at Thrill Geek on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're at Thrill Geek on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe there. I don't know. We got a couple new videos up there. I got to construct the hard hat tour from Sesame Street. I think Barry got a couple more. He's still churning out Tokyo videos. And I think I'll post the same, our little review of the Mickey bar. So I'll probably throw that up on the YouTube channel. So look out for that. Share it with my wife and my 4-year-old trying the Mickey bars. So that'll be our review of those. I'll throw that up on our YouTube as well. And of course, this is the Thrill Geek podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast, you can find the Throw Geek podcast. So, Derek, thank you so much for joining me. It was fun. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And encourage, start with your next episode. Maybe encourage some more reviews from your listeners. I mean, you guys put out a very consistent product every week, and that's another thing, for let alone blogging. Podcasting, yeah. Doing it right takes a lot of work, and we all, as listeners, get used to things just showing up on a certain day, and we get used to it, and we like hearing people, hearing Barry and Clint talk about the theme parks, but taking that extra 2-3 minutes to write a quick iTunes review really helps you guys, and I don't think people understand that. That can be so little that'll help you guys so much, and you know, you're all doing it for free. You're literally getting nothing out of this other than spending time away from your family and the things that you enjoy.
So
encourage your listeners to maybe help you guys out, because you guys do a great job.
Thank you so much, Derek. I appreciate it. I really do. I try to plug the reviews. I try not to, you know, cram it down people's throat, but the iTunes reviews really do help us. So take a few minutes, give us a rating, write in a little something, and be honest, you know, hopefully not negative, but be honest. And if there's something you want to see in me and Barry do in 2019, we're trying to do, as we've already mentioned, we're trying to do more things with the podcast this year, having more people on, you know, trying different things. So, you know, leave it in the comments. Let us know what you'd like to see. So we'd appreciate it. So, all right, Derek, thanks again. And thanks again, guys, for listening. And we will see you guys again next week.
See ya!